make music with the heavens. We will sing, sing, sing. Grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Let's hide the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you? You are the light that leads us, like a fire burning. Son of God, you are the one. You are the one we're living for. Sing, 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 and make music with the heavens. We will grateful that you hear us when we shout your praise. Let's hide the name of Jesus. What's not to love about you? Heaven and earth adore you. Kings and kingdoms bow down. Son of God, you are the
on up. Worship our God today.
Everyone needs compassion. Getting started.
Our God's a mighty warrior, right? Amen. Our God can move mountains, right? Amen. Let's lift it up this morning.
Heavenly Father, just move your Holy Spirit in here as now we move to the time where we honor you by receiving your tithe and our offerings. We give you praise for who you are as we can seek your face and just recognize that whatever you have promised, we can stand on that. So God, just put your blessing upon both the giver and the tither, upon everybody who's here. And we just ask for your Holy Spirit to fall to meet your needs here and around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are my rock, and you never change.
Father, just move for the rest of this time, whether our children are headed to our Sunday school or whether we're here in our own Sunday school and having what you would want to speak to us. And so, God, just let everything set aside and let us focus on you. May you be high and lifted up in our praise today. For that, we give you praise, glory, and honor, all that you deserve in Christ's name. Everybody says, amen. All right, at this time, our children can leave for our Shoreline Sunday School ministry, and everyone else, say hello to those around you. All right. Good morning, everyone. Okay, we want to move on in our worship. And so, first of all, I want to welcome any visitors. Visitors are just family that made it here today. That's what I believe, because we're all going to be together in heaven if we know the Lord. Amen? So we're glad that you're here. If you are visiting with us, hope for the first time or a couple times, and you haven't been able to fill out a card, hopefully we'll give you a little card. You can fill that out and go ahead and hand it in. We have a small gift. Thank you for being part of our worship here today. You can look at some of the announcements in your sheet today. Several about the youth, particularly the first official groundbreaking kickoff youth group meeting. So you can see that. That'll be September the 9th. And so you bring a friend, 12 to 1:30, and you can see some of the other things. You will be hearing some things about Community Kitchen in the future. Haven Home Repair, thank you to everyone. 13 volunteers that came out yesterday to install front door, subfloor, siding, gutter for a lady in Elkton. So that's awesome. If you want to be connected to that ministry, please go ahead and connect there. Also, Haven's Helping Hands, blanket bags of care. You can see that, the insert that is inside here. Please take a look at that, and a sample is available within that. Paris Foundation, the next one is the 16th of September, which is not that far away at all. Believe that or not, here we are. We're entering into September. Also, on Monday, September 10th, the women's and men's group will be meeting again. They'll be meeting right here. Dana Webb and Kate Allen will be leading the women's group. It will be this book, Rachel and Leah. So if you're interested in that, you can see them, and we'll have some more contact information for that next week. And Jake Allen will be leading the men's group. As well. Before we go to our prayer request, we're going to go ahead and I want to show you. We're going to start a fall committee. I mean, our fall churchwide study. So I want to show you a little bit about that. It's called All In. October 14th, 2018, which is coming up soon, another month, we are going to go ahead and start a churchwide study. What we want people to host. If you want to host, or the hostess with the mostest, or the hostess with the fewest, I don't know, whatever you want to do. If you're willing to host, open your home, whatever, be there. I know we'll probably have some that are here. And if you're willing to go ahead and if you're also willing to go ahead and lead a group, you don't have to do both, but we are going to have a training for you in September, in the next couple of weeks. And so we're going to go ahead and continue and do that. We'd love for everybody. All those messages will be going ahead and dealing with that every for 4 weeks. So we're going to be going ahead and continuing with that. So if you're, we want people to sign up. That's the one thing. The church is going to be doing that. So we want to make sure that we're going to go ahead and go from there. Everybody go? Everybody ready to go all in? Yeah. Anybody want to be dangerous? Yeah. All right, good. So we want you to do that. Okay, at this time, let's move on to our prayer concerns that we have here. Regan Sarah have asked for prayers for Dennis Christie, who has failing health and major cause has cancer, I believe, and moved in with his daughter, so prayers for healing and strength. Jennifer Legullo asked for prayers for Mark Duggar with hospice care and for his family, and Benjamin starts his new job at Sandy Cove, so we're thankful for that. Robin Hildebrand asked for John Doran and Jesse Moran for Doreen, on the death of their son in a construction accident this week, and the funeral is today. Joanne asked for prayers for Jason and Donnie in the path to recovery. Also, the family of David Crockett. David finally fought the last battle, and he passed away this week. And he will be we will be having his services on Wednesday. Many of you know Jenny Smith, and also Patty Miller. Pat, that's their nephew. So we want to lift them. And Wanda Crockett, it's her. I forget what her name is now. I know it's Crockett from years ago, but I know it's something different now, but it's her son, so be praying for everybody, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to move on with our scripture and service. Heavenly Father, we come to you today once again, and just we're lifting up these many prayer concerns for healing and for strength, people in hospice, people in with cancer issues. I want to thank you for the what it seems to be the positive area that little baby Emma Grace has taken, but we recognize she's not out of the woods, and there may be surgeries that exist there, but God continue to heal her heart and her life and give her parents strength. For all the others that we have here, for those who have lost people due to death, and for those who struggle with addiction and the path to recovery, for all these things and for all the things that you do, God, we give you praise. As there are some things that we just don't know the answer to, even though we think we know so much today, we just want to put them at your feet and in your hands. And God, we'll just trust in you. For this, we give you praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Good morning. Proverbs 29:18. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Ephesians 1:17-18. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people.
right. We are continuing week three of our Dream Big series. We've had weeks one and two. Last week, we talked about the right place at the right time, and some people contacted me and said it was perfect because they were in the right place at the right time this past week. And so we're going to continue today, and we're talking about living the dream. Everybody, how many feel like you're living the dream? How many feel like the dream's more of a nightmare, maybe? Somebody? All right. Okay. Our theme verse for this series comes from Psalm 126. Let's take a look at it up here. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, in other words, they were struggling. They had some bad stuff going on. It says, we were like those who did what? Dreamed. You ever had like a really good dream and you woke up and you're like, oh, wow, and you thought it was real? Or like sometimes, how many of you ever had dreams of a loved one who passed away and it's so real at that moment that you struggle to try to go back to sleep so that you can spend that time in there with them? Or how many dreamed that you were flying? Anybody ever done that? And isn't it cool? I had a big S on my chest when I did it. But it says, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with what? Laughter. How many just need a good laugh? Just love to have your life filled with laughter. Our tongues with songs of joy. Laughter and joy. And then it was said among the nations. What was it said? Here we go. The Lord has done what? Great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. And we are filled with? Joy. How many of you would, that would be your dream, that you would, your mouth would be constantly filled with laughter and you would have, be full of joy each and every day of your life? Well, I think that's partly a dream for all of us because life doesn't seem to do much of that. But the theme, I guess, the theme of our dream, the theme of the dream in our series has been simply this, that you have no idea, and we were talking about this the first week, you have no idea what God may produce with a single seed of faith. I believe every dream is birthed in a seed of faith, that if we just have that little seed of faith, if you think that you're dreaming something and you can accomplish it on your own without God, your dream is too small. You got what I mean? If other people can help you do it, your dream is way, way too small. So you need that seed of faith, and you need God to help you in and through that. Today, I want to use a verse from Proverbs chapter 29, and it may come up some next week, but we've talked a lot about being in the right place, right time, about planting a seed of faith and other kinds of things. Today, I want to talk about living out that dream and how we see it. Because a lot of times we have it here, we've planted it, but we don't see it. And this verse from Proverbs 29 says this, if people can't see what God is doing, in other words, if you can't see God, you may have that dream, but you don't see God doing anything. Then what are you going to do? They stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most what? Blessed. Blessed. So sometimes when we can't see something, anybody ever played those games? Like anybody ever, when you did pin the tail on the donkey? Remember that way back when? That might be negative to do because you might hurt an animal. I don't know now. But anyway, they would put something over your eyes and you can go ahead and they spin you around. And you had something, we give kids a tack or something to poke and something. But we do that. Or anybody hit a pinata? Okay? There's a lot of videos of people getting hit with pinatas. But sometimes, or when it's really, really dark and you can't find something and you're looking around for it, now we're all spoiled. We pull out our phones and start with that, but we're all spoiled. But when you can't see, we end up stumbling all over ourselves. And in our world, when we don't see God, we see so much around us, we see chaos, we don't see God in the midst of it. But when we focus on what God is doing, we become the most blessed people that there are. In other words, this is my hope for you. My hope is that you will see God doing what he does within the dreams that he's planted inside you, and that you may live those out, those God-honoring dreams that he's inspired in you. Now, there's this other verse that I'm not going to talk about too much today, but in Acts chapter 2, it's a really interesting verse. It's one that we've heard before, and it says, in the last days, God will pour out the Spirit. And it talks about that young men will dream dreams, old men will visions and dreams, and women will do this and that. And it gives three areas of that. One of the things it says that they will prophesy, they will have visions, and they will have dreams. And all three of those things, in other words, God is not pouring out a Spirit, but God is pouring out a Spirit. But in the end times, God is going to say, turn on the fire hose. We're going to really nail him with this. We're going to nail him with the Spirit of God. We're going to give him a ton of this. Going to intensify the Spirit of God, and he's going to do that. And for people who dream, there's going to be three things that happen. You're going to prophesy, which is that God is revealing things to you that are not seen. You are going to see visions, things that have not yet happened, and you're going to dream dreams. There are three things there that God says with the intensity of his spirit, there will be things that you do not see and that have not happened yet. Now notice that that God wants to show you things in your life. But in order to show you things, in other words, God's saying, yeah, all this stuff's going on. How many think that there's some bad stuff going on in the world? Okay. How many think there's some bad stuff going on in our nation? How many think there's some bad stuff going on in our state? How many think some bad stuff going on in your community? How many of you think of your families? Don't raise your hand, okay? So, but there's bad stuff going around there. And it's hard to see God's pouring out of the Spirit unless we get into a place where we're with the Spirit of God and we can prophesy, see visions, and dream dreams. I believe God's plan in the last days, which I believe, regardless of if it's tomorrow or if it's 300 years from now, we are in the last days of what God wants to do. And so he wants to give us a picture of what's happening. So today what I want to do, today I want to tune you in. Everybody say tune in. Tune in to be able to hear God's voice and see what God is doing. Everybody good? All right. So today we're going to hear and see what God is doing. It's important these last days. So I want to take you to a verse that you guys, a book out of the Bible that you read every day, that you look, it's one of the gold ones, a guy named Habakkuk, right? Habakkuk, not many people know about Habakkuk, but Habakkuk is a prophet, or they also called him a seer. In other words, he saw things that were in the future. I want to give you some context here. In the context of this, he is complaining to God. How many have ever complained to God? How many want to right now? Okay, so it's okay. You can complain to God. God doesn't care. He didn't care about your complaints. He'll deal with it. But so anyway, he writes a book here, or the book's written, and is complaining about the condition of the world and the area around him. How many of you could write that book right now? You said that there's a lot of stuff going on. You could complain. You could write a book of complaints to God. And basically what Habakkuk, everybody say Habakkuk. Okay, if you want to be a Hebrew, you're Habakkuk. Okay, all right. You can do that. But Habakkuk is here, and what he's saying is, God, where are you? Okay, I'm sure if I ask you for hands, somebody's prayed that before in your life. Where are you in the midst of the situation? Where are you in the world? Where are you in the poverty? Where are you in the addiction? Where are you in all these situations that are occurring here, God? And so he says this to God, and God says this, look at the nations and watch. In other words, what God's telling us today, turn on your television and look at the news. Pick up your newspaper. Go to a search page. Check out the internet. Look at social media. In other words, he says, look at that mess and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe, even if it were told. He says, then I am raising up the Babylonians, which is interesting if you want to know where that is. That's like modern day Iraq, Iran. And he says, I am raising up the Babylonians. In other words, he's letting them rise to power. That ruthless and impetuous people who swept across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves. Anybody seem like some of the people that we deal with in life? They're a law to themselves. They promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than their leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle. I know you want to sing Steve Miller. Swooping to devour. They all come intent on violence. Their hordes advance like a desert wind and gather prisoners like the sand. What about this? They mock and scoff at rulers. They laugh at all fortified cities by building earthen ramps, and they capture them. Does that sound like some of our world mess? Sound like some of it? So this is God. So here you have Habakkuk who says, God, this place is a mess. Where are you? I see nothing in you. And God answers him by saying, take a look at your newspaper and your internet. Guess what? Let me tell you, the world's a mess. And Habakkuk goes, yeah, duh, God. That's exactly what I just told you. Why are you telling me that? How many of you, if God told you, hey, guess what? The world's a mess. Would you go, yeah? What are you going to do about it, God? You know, what are you going to do? So God tells this. And then God actually shifts us around and says, but let me tell you something. I'm not doing anything until I return, until I send Jesus to return. So guess what? You deal with it. That's why God tells him. See, so Habakkuk went to God saying, I want you to fix it, do something. And he says, I am. And my plan is the dream that I've placed in your heart and in your life. It's up to you until I return. And Habakkuk answers this. Here's where we're getting into the crux of this, in case you want to know why I'm talking about this guy, Habakkuk. All right? He says this. He says, okay. I will climb into my watchtower. In other words, I'm going to go into a place away. If God wants to tell me these things, I'm going to get into a place away, and I will wait. I'm going to wait for that. And I will look to see what the Lord will say. Now, isn't that a weird statement? I will look to see what he will say. How do you look at what somebody says? All right, hold on to that. We'll deal with that in a second. And he says, then the Lord gave me this answer. Here's the answer. Write down what I reveal to you so you can read it with a glance. Write down what I read to you so you can put it in a glance. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you five words real quickly here. Five words or ways to help you live out the dreams that are God-honoring, that God placed in you, that are there. And we learn this from Habakkuk. Again, the world around him is a mess. He wants God to do something. God says, hey, the dream I put in you is what you're going to do. And what God tells us today, yeah, the world around you is a mess. The workplace around you is a mess. Your family's a mess. The world's around you a mess. Guess what? I'm leaving it up to you to do something in that dream that I placed in your life. So the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to do this. You're going to withdraw. Everybody say withdraw. What does withdrawal mean? To get away from the noise. Anybody just, it's like so noisy in life. Anybody remember that old commercial? Calgon, take me away. All right? Where she just had to get away from everybody and put some soap in a bath. Isn't that what Calgon was? In a bubble bath and chill out. All right? So, Calgon, take me away. And so she went there. She withdrew from the area. She withdrew. She left and went from there. We do that all the time. How many of you have had a vacation this summer? How many are planning on a vacation sometime? How many wish you could have a vacation? You notice what the word in vacation is? Vacate. You get away. Have you noticed that when you, let's say you're driving, or even if you're flying, that you get in your car and you start to head away, you can feel like the weight lifting off? You're vacating it all. You're leaving it behind. You're like, leaving my troubles and cares behind. Yay. Leave them for somebody else. Put my phone down, not talking to anybody. It's all gone. Yay! But as soon as you head back to the area, you start to feel the pressure and the weight, and you're not vacating anymore. Am I right? Vacations help us vacate. So we do that in the natural. But I want to tell you, your spirits need a vacation from the world around you. Sometimes you need to just get still and get alone with God. It's a great way to do that. You need to be protective of that. So you need a vacation to get with God. Just to let you know, Jesus did it. And if Jesus did it, then guess what? We do too. Here's what it says in Luke chapter 5. But Jesus, how much? Often withdrew to lonely or quiet places and prayed. He needed to withdraw and go to a place and pray. And if Jesus did it, then we need to as well. Number two, here's the second thing that we need to do. Everybody loves this word, wait. How many of you have kids? How many ever told your kids, just wait a second? How often does that work? They just hover? They hit space invade, like they're in that area, and you're like, I said, wait, I am. Daddy, 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 right? So we have this. You cannot be in a hurry. So the first thing is you do what? You withdraw, and then when you withdraw, you wait. Wait. I am not a good waiting person, ever. I am not. And in today's world, we don't like to be patient. We don't like waiting. For instance, we look at busyness as something that's awesome. We run into people. I guarantee you had this discussion with somebody this week. How you doing? What have you been up to? Just busy. I'm busy, 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 busy. What are you doing this week? It's a busy week. I'm busy. How about you? You busy? I'm busy. Everybody's busy. You busy? You busy? You know, people who don't even work and do anything, they're busy. I know what they're doing. They're busy. Everybody's busy. Okay? You never, I would love, mess with somebody this week when they come up to you this week and they say, how you doing? What have you been up to? Say, absolutely nothing. I'm sitting on my butt. It is awesome. They will go, what a slug, right? You know, something is wrong with you if you're not busy. Busy, 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 busy. And I think that's one of the best tools of the enemy, of Satan, to tell us that we are too busy. And we are. We try to pack every ounce of our schedule. Our whole life cannot and should not be busy, because busyness is the enemy of prayer. For instance, I will dare say, me included, that some people in here, that when you've gone to pray, you've looked at your calendar first and decided to pray and say, oh God, here I am. Thank you very much. I just thank you. You're an awesome God. Can you please fill this? Here's my knees. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, good to go. Time for lunch. And we get it out quick. Because why? We are too? We are too? All right, there we go. All right. Just think, if God needs you to wait for the answer that he's going to give. Let me take you back to the illustration of my kids. If I'm in the middle of something, if I have something that I'm doing, something that I believe is important, and I say, hold on a second. And let's say they're asking me for money, and they need $5, and I have a $50 bill I'm going to give to them. Ain't happening, but just go with it, all right? So if I have that for them, if they will just wait, and they get impatient, and they leave, and let's say they go to Melissa, and she says, all I got is $10, here you go. They missed out on the blessing of $40 more by being impatient. Don't try it today, all right? Sometimes I believe God's getting ready to give us a breakthrough and an answer, but we are too busy to wait for his answer. So we need to be, as the scripture says here, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And that goes for our minds too. And I have a mind that always moves. Sometimes we just need to find something to quiet our minds. In Psalm 62, it says this: let all that I am wait quietly before the Lord, for my hope is in him. What if you just took time and said, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Some of you are nervous right now and say, please, Jack, say something, okay? You don't like that pause in life. What if you just started to take time and ask God to be quiet and see how he will reveal your dreams? Remember this other statement where he said, I will look to see what the Lord says? That weird statement? What do we need to do? We need to read God's word. We need to fall in love with God's word all over again. In other words, so many times we're saying, God, give me a sign. Give me a neon sign. God, go ahead and shout it. Give me blinking lights. And we say, God, I got to ask you about this. And he may say, I wrote it in one of the 66 books. Look in that first. I'm not telling you because it's already there. Have you ever had an answer for someone that you don't like and you keep looking until you try to find what you want? Sometimes that's why we don't want to look in the scripture, because we get the answer very clearly, but then we keep asking God, God, and God goes, it's in the book. Look at it. Look at it, it's there. Sometimes we need to stop looking for a sign and start looking for a scripture. Sometimes we think God is silent and he's already said it. Like, for instance, we need to get in the Word. There's several different resources out there, whether it's the YouVersion Bible, and some of us have connected and do a devotion every day where you can write on there. For some of you, we put up the Bible in a year, 1 year Bible. We put that on there on our website and stuff for people to be engaged into and get into that. And often, here's what I want you to say. Sometimes people will say, well, you'll say, how are you? I'm back in April. I messed up, but I'm catching up. Just start today. For instance, the Bible is, you eat every, how many of you eat every day? How many eat multiple times every day? Good. So that's the same thing with the Word of God. Eat, feast on the Word of God every day. That's the bread of life from God. Eat on that. But don't try to eat 3 months. If you skip for 4 months, don't try to eat all that in one sitting. You know what I mean? You will hate the scripture if you have to read 85 chapters today because of this guilt that you feel. And guilt's not from God, it's from Satan. So start where you are and pick back up and eat today. And go ahead and pick it back up. Got a secret for you. God already knows you didn't keep up, so he just wants you back into it. So start where you are. Start there. I believe the biggest thing the Church Universal can do is that we need to return to the authority of God's Word and embrace the Word of God and feast on it. Next one, number four. What does God say? Write. How many of you have written your vision down? We talked about that the other week. Writing it down. Remember I talked about the other week, writing several people down that you want to go ahead and pray for, that you want to see become Christians. How many of you have that vision from God and you've actually written it down? Because they've proven what you write down becomes actually reality the more you look at it. And the last thing that we see here is to review it. Review it. You need to look at your dreams and review them. Review the bucket list. How many of you have anybody have a bucket list of stuff you want to do? I challenge you to write a bucket list today and just see the things that God may want you to do. Over the years, particularly for the leadership team and in myself, I've written down the dreams and visions I have for this church. And I will tell you, at sometimes, if you saw it, you would say, man, some of these dreams would probably freak you out in your mind. But you know what? When you write them down, it helps you test and see if that's what God wants and if that's where God is leading. Some of those things is really cool to look back on, because sometimes I'll write the dreams out 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years. Okay, and I'll write them out. And then when you get to year 10, you see that God has moved in those ways, which is pretty awesome. You see where God has taken other things and gone different avenues, but having it written down also shows you that God is at work. And so you can see what God is doing. So these are the things. These five are the practical part. Everybody got that? So now what I want to do is I want to give you some inspiration. I want to give the inspirational part here. So how many of you remember when you're riding in the car when you were a kid? How many of you ever played that ABC sign game? See, you know what I'm talking about. Like, that was long before you had iPads and movies and stuff in there. But you would go ahead and you'd look for a sign and had to have an A in it, right? Start with an A and then B. And you, how many always hated when you got to X? You know, you kind of run by the hospital. X-ray, there we go. Or sometimes Q kind of messed with you a little bit. But some of those were. But it made... You would see signs that you never saw before. Why? Because you were looking for it. And so what I want us to do is to look for it. Or how many of you ever played that cloud game where what do the clouds look like? All right, we've done that. And you start to do that. And so that's a neat question. And so often people say, what do you see there in that cloud? What do you see in the signs? Where do you see that when you saw the sign that started with a Q, when you had those things? And so I think that's a great question for the church. What are you seeing? What are you seeing? Because it's not only with our eyes, our physical eyes, but do you know that your heart has eyes? You know, we have that song, Open the Eyes of My Heart, but it comes from the scripture. And we're going to look at that. Here is the thing that was read for us in Ephesians. It says, I keep asking, and it's a prayer, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In other words, I pray that God will help you see and understand stuff so that you may know him better. It continues on, it says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, to the riches of his glorious inheritance. In other words, God needs to sometimes close these eyes and open the eyes of your heart in order for your dreams to come true. Because I will tell you, when everybody else is looking at your dream with their eyes, they're not seeing with the passion that God has placed in your heart. That's what we need to do. All right? So how do we do this? I want to take you to an Old Testament story in 2 Kings. Everybody good? 2 Kings. Here we go. Now, there are some kings. So it says, so the king of Israel set out with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. Okay, so you have three kings, Israel, Judah, and Edom, and they are going out to attack the king of Moab. Now remember the Moabites we talked about last week? Who came from Moab? Talked last week. What was her name? Starts with an R, ends with Uth. Everybody together? Ruth, there we go. You guys are brilliant. Okay, started with Ruth. She was from this area. And it says, so they set out against them. They thought three against one, three kingdoms against one, no problem. Guess what? Big problem. They couldn't defeat them. They were having problems. And it says that after a roundabout march of 7 days, the army had no more water for themselves or for their animals. Now, did you notice what it said here? They had a roundabout march for how much? Does that remind you of anybody? I'm going to take you back to your Sunday school. Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, down. Right? Remember that? Anybody remember? They walked around 7 days. What the kings are doing is living under somebody else's vision, and it's an old vision. And one of the coolest things that I find out in Scripture is God rarely does something the same way. For instance, if Moses saw a burning bush today, we would have the first church of the burning bush in our town and think that's the only way God speaks. Right? If we had that. Or if we said, hey, God only speaks to us through talking donkeys, we would probably walk a donkey in and look at it and say, speak to us, God. And he only did it one time that I ever know. You guys may think he does it every week, but that's okay. All right? So you with me? Everybody with me in this pattern? God, with new visions, likes to do new things in the midst of that, and speak differently. So they were under this old system and this old vision. Now, here you go. It's not working out for the kings. They've tried this old thing that worked before, and look at what they say. What? Okay, so they're dealing with this, and he goes, you got to find the humor in Scripture. They're like, we're going to go kick some butt. We're going in. We're taking them out. We're going to take Moab. There's three against one. Yeah, holla. And they get there, and they're getting whooped, and they walk. Well, let's try that Joshua thing. You know, let's walk around. Now they get whooped even more, and there's a famine, and all of a sudden he goes, what? They don't know what to do. It says, what? Everybody say, what? There we go. Exclaimed the king of Israel. Has the Lord called us three kings together only to deliver us into the hands of Moab? But Jehoshaphat asked, is there no prophet of the Lord here, to whom we may inquire of the Lord? And an officer of the king. Isn't it interesting that the three leaders, the three kings, had to ask, is there anybody of God that we can look to? After they were losing the battle. How many times in our lives when we think we're supposed to head somewhere that we bring God in at the end when we're getting our tails kicked and we say, oh, who can I turn to ask God? And then all of a sudden, an officer of the king of Israel answered, wait, there's that guy Elisha, son of, you figured out, here. He used to pour water on the hands of Elijah. So they all never checked with God before. Now they say, oh, let's blame it on God that we're getting our tails kicked. Who should we go to? An officer says, go to Elisha, because he was close to Elijah guy. So they go to Elisha, and Elisha's answer is simply this. He kind of gives that talk. Are you talking to me? Oh, now you want to talk to me, huh? He said, why don't you go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother? No, the king of Israel answered, because it was the Lord who called us three together and to deliver us into the hands of Moab. So basically he says, go ahead, do this. Elisha said, as surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, if I did not have respect for the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not even give you my attention. In other words, Jehoshaphat was a good king. He was somebody who loved God and honored God. And so Elisha says, I am only talking to you now because of Jehoshaphat, because he loves God. And so he goes ahead and he goes to this. So then he says something very interesting. I'm going to ask Wayne to come up here real quick. He says this. He says this verse. So now they're saying, hey, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to go ahead and serve you. I'm going to go ahead and help you defeat the Moabites. I'm going to get you some water. And look at the verse that he says here. Ready? Now bring me a harpist. Does that seem odd to anyone? That they're going to battle. They're losing. They have no water. They're going to die. Their vision is dying. And he says, can somebody get me some mood music? Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? So what he's saying, but Elisha knew something that was really kind of cool. Elisha knew that you needed the presence of God. So I want to display this to you. This is Wayne, my harpist. Let's hear it for Wayne. All right? All right. Okay. See, already. Okay, hold on, Wayne. Here we go. All right, so here we go. Good, huh? All right, so here we go. I'm going to tell you this. Life is difficult, but hang in there because God's with you. All right, nobody said amen. Go ahead, Wayne. Life is difficult, but hang in there because God is with you. All right, there we go, right? I might have to keep him here every week for the sermon, all right? So, very good. You like that? Okay. So you see what happens. Here they are, and he starts to play. Go ahead. I might keep you up here for a while. They're paying attention more here now, okay? This is good. I could do this every week. All right, so you see what happened. He knows this, and here's the first thing that he knows. He knows that dreams are born in the presence of God. See, this is good. So, he knew that they needed the atmosphere around them to change. It was one of fear. It was one of loss. It was one of hurt. And he needed the presence of God to be there. And so he said, "Give me that harpist." Because Elisha knew, I need to get in the presence of God. And God comes and inhabits our praise. Amen? All right, you're good, harpist. You can take a break. He's not stopping now, so all right. All right, let's hear it for the harpist. There we go. That's why we have music, because God, it helps us praise. It helps us put everything else out and helps us focus on God. Dreams are born in the presence of God. And then here's his word. After he's in the presence of God and the harpist is played, here's the word that he gets. He doesn't say, "Go get him." He says, "Make this valley full of ditches." Isn't this weird? In other words, he says, "Oh, thank you, God, thank you. Get a shovel and start digging, gentlemen." And they're like, "What? What are you talking about? I want to tell you something. In order for God's vision to be lived out, you have to put it into action. You have to get busy and do something. Every miracle that Jesus did, he told somebody, "Get up, rise, and take your mat." He told the man with the withered hand, "Stretch out your hand," right? Little girl, "Get up." He always had them do an action. And we live in a time where we want our dreams, God, just take them and go, I got them. And he says, "Get up and dig some ditches and see what happens." See what happens. I had a vision of this church. In order to start this church, I had to get up and leave someplace else. I had to do some things in order for that to become a reality. What action is it that God wants you to do for your dream? He ain't just going to plop it at your front door. Because here's what we learn. A couple different things. Dreams go from creativity to activity. Or from inspiration to cooperation. You've got to enact those dreams. You need to do something. Look at somebody next to you. Say, "Do something." Look at your second choice and say, "You too." For instance, it is easy. I've always found the greatest thing that Jesus said, when Jesus said, was asked what the greatest commandment is, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, right? And to love your neighbor as yourself. Because you see how you love God by the actions you give to your neighbors. You have to do something to display the love of God. It's easy to say, "I love God." Right? I can say I love coconut, but you put that in front of me, you're going to see I don't. 2 Kings 3:17. And this is the last part here. "For this is what the Lord says. You will see neither wind nor rain, yet this valley will be filled with water. You and your cattle and animals will drink." Why do you think he said that? You know what I think is awesome? They dug ditches. Didn't see a cloud in the sky, but it was full of water. And what does he say? "This is an easy thing in the eyes of the Lord." He will also, by the way, he also handed Moab to your hands. Isn't it awesome that the secondary thing is the first thing they went to Elisha for? And Elisha said, "Get me some music, because we need the presence of God. Get some shovels and start digging a ditch. And guess what? Your eyes are going to deceive you, but you need to open the eyes of your heart and trust in him. And it'll be full." And that's an easy thing for God. Oh, yeah, by the way, that Moab thing, God's got it. Dreams continue regardless of what you see. Don't give up on your dreams. And this sets up perfectly for next week, because next week, that's what we're talking about. Because I dare say there are some of you that have a dream. There are some of you that have dreams whether it came to family, or some of you may have had received a call from the Lord to do something at a very early age, but something in your life stole that from you. Let me tell you, the seed of faith that God put in you can go 30, 60, 100-fold, but you may have to go ahead and dig a ditch and not see the rain. But this is an easy thing for God. It's a very easy thing for God. I'm going to ask our worship team to come back up now. Everybody got it? I want you to look for God this week. I want you to look for him in what you see. And then next week, I challenge you, we're going to wrap this series up. This series is going to be wrapped up in never give up. Never give up. I want you to stand where you are. I want you to never give up. I'm calling my harpist back up. And we want the presence of God here. Because here's the thing. You may struggle seeing God move. You may have gone to him or to others and asked for help, and you're not seeing that at all. You don't see the cloud in the sky, but God just wants you to go ahead and trust him and open the eyes of your heart and your life. See, Elisha knew that nothing could be done outside of the presence of God. And so for those dreams right now that you may say, I'm way too old, or I'm too young, I got this challenge, I got that challenge, this is an easy thing for God. It's an easy thing for God. Just get in his presence right now. Let him speak to you in an amazing and powerful way. Let him give new life to that dream that seems like it's struggling and on its last legs. Let God nourish it. You may have to dig a ditch or two. God will do what you don't see. What's the scripture say? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things that the Father has prepared for those who love him. When I look around this room, I see a lot of dreams. I think the only hope for our world is that we go ahead and we dream big so that our big God can accomplish the impossible. So right now, just get in the presence of God. Ask him where he needs you to be, and ask him what he needs, what you need, what ditch you need to dig in order to go ahead and see it filled with water. Ask in his presence. The altar's open if you need to pray with people, or if you just need to pray.
There is nothing worth more that will ever come. tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and
experience the glory of your goodness.
When we're not seeing you, when we aren't experiencing you and life is difficult, that we'll just out of the blue yell and mess with people and just say, give me a harpist. And God will just get in your presence, whatever it may be. This week has a lot of challenges for people. There's funerals, there's back to work, there's struggles, there's health issues. God, get us a harpist so we can get in your presence. We need you more than anything. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, guys, next week, never give up. Everybody say never give up. Never give up on that dream. Say hello and have a great week. God bless.